Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. Back with you again with another installment of DLR's Jewel Hour. This is your host, Derek Aaron. This is Black News Network. BNN, Stuart Scott with Sports Center, CNN meets some urban America. What's good? What's good, world? What's good with y'all out there? We got some pretty hyped up topics for today. We'll get right into it. I'll start off with Chris Matthews. Excuse me. Chris Matthews is actually the host of Harbaugh on MSNBC. I actually watch the show occasionally. I watch a couple shows, and that just happened to be one. But recently, Chris Matthews came under a little scrutiny. His wife, actually Kathleen Matthews, is running for political office. And she's running for Maryland's 8th Congressional District. She's actually you know, his wife is in politics. Chris Matthews was previously in politics before he became a broadcaster. And she's now, you know, aspiring to be a politician herself. The only issue becomes is that in recent reports, Kathleen Matthews has received $79,050 in campaign contributions in 2015. But the catch is this. The contributions came from prominent former and current politicians featured on Chris Matthews' Hardball show on MSNBC. So there has been a call for Chris Matthews' show to be canceled until her political campaign is over, because it seems as if she's getting favoritism from guests on her husband's show. Of course, he hosts the Hardball on MSNBC, and it's a political show that has insight on politics, stuff like that. And he have politicians on as his guests. Well, these guests supposedly contributing to his wife's campaign, and her opponent, who she's running against for District 8 congressional district in Maryland, feels as if it's unfair to her. What are your thoughts on that? Me personally, I think it's one of those catch-22s. I'm not sure how it really plays out. I'm not sure if it's an advantage or it's a disadvantage. It does have its ups and it has its downs. Chris Matthews have his own political view, which can be interpreted to go against his wife in some aspects. In other aspects, if she's benefiting financially and contributions are coming in because of guests, that can be considered a favoritism show. So I don't know. Politics is very, 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 very mucky at times. So you have to be careful. I do feel as if it seems as if she's getting somewhat of favoritism, because I can read this to you. New York Senator Kristen Gilbert gave $10,000 to Matthews' campaign, Kathryn Matthews' campaign, 2 days before appearing on Hardball, while California Senator Barbara Boxer gave $1,000 the day before an interview on the program. So it does seem as if there's some kind of parallel here. Me personally, I see it to be all about the politics. You wash my hand, I wash yours. It's been going on for years. I think just now they're calling it out. Do you feel, as a listener, as a registered voter, as a person who has a perspective and understanding on politics and what's going on, that this is wrong? If you feel that it's wrong and you have a perspective, as I always say, this is an open platform. DLR's Jewel Hour is an open platform for us to share our insight and understanding, not to go back and forth with each other, just to pretty much come to an understanding. If you have an insight you want to share, at number 718-664-9983, calling in. I'm here running my mouth, as always, and I'm open to hearing it. My thing is, when Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you can remember Governor Schwarzenegger, when he was the governor of California, his wife at the time, Maria Shriver, was actually on NBC. So at the time, because it was a conflict of interest. She stepped down her post at NBC while he ran his campaign. Do we think it's precedent, or is it essential, or is it imperative that Chris Matthews step down as well from Hardball? Because it seems as if his wife is getting favoritism and contributions from guests of the show. Do we feel this is wrong? Do we feel that it's right? What do we feel? I don't really have an outlook on this. I will say this much, though. If I was the opponent, I probably would have a problem with it, too, as well. And if Maria Shriver stepped down, and when Arnold Schwarzenegger was running, her husband at the time, I think it's also, I guess it's grounds to ask Chris Matthews to step down. I love Chris Matthews. I kind of enjoy his show. I've stated that on times. I also like Don Lemon on CNN. It's the content and the quality of the work that really pulls me in. It's not so much the individual and their personal standpoints. It's the professionalism that draws me in. And for that, Chris Matthews is high on the list for me. He knows what he's talking about. It goes even to this, and I know this has nothing to do with anything, but it kind of parallels. From a personal standpoint, I never was really fond of John Gruden as a football coach in the NFL. But as a commentator and an NFL broadcaster, I really think he knows what he's talking about. I think professionalism, his credibility as far as where he's coming from as a coach, really gives him a lot of insight, and I appreciate that. So I'm fond of him as a commentator in the NFL, but I wasn't fond of him as a coach. And I never played for him, but this is my personal perspective. Like I said, it's an open platform for personal perspective. You'll hear a lot of mine because I am the host, but I'm open to hearing yours as well. So if you want to, you can call in at number 718-664-9983. I'm here running my mouth as always. My thing is with Chris Matthews and his wife and this presenting situation is, what do we do in situations like this? Do he get blamed for being already in a professional platform and his wife is trying to establish her own? Or do we look at it as if, okay, because this is the situation, you have to cut off certain entities and certain... I think the way you do it is if I'm a political guest and I'm on Chris Matthews' show, I have to either decide if I'm going to give a contribution to his wife's campaign or not, because it doesn't kind of gel when you look at it from the outside looking in. It does come off as if I wash your hand, you wash mine kind of situation, and that's not fair. It really isn't, because think about it. You have another opponent out here who may not have the advantages that Chris Matthews' wife has because he's on national TV. But like I said, there's disadvantages in that as well, because everybody may not agree with Chris Matthews' political standpoint, which causes the vote to go to the opponent. So you never know. You never know in these situations. But it is one of those mucky situations. And this, once again, politics rearing its ugly head in a situation that I think is already on a platform of division. That's just my personal opinion. You can agree or disagree. That's my outlook on it. I think when you set up a situation and you put two different parties and you put them in a situation where they have to be competitive with each other, the only thing you're really going to get out of that is divide. It's not really so much of a unification. It's more of a division. And us as a societal body and understanding, we kind of pick a side too, and now we're in the fight. So it's mucky. It's mucky. Politics is mucky. And I'm not against politics, because I think politics at some point does have a place. But at the same time, I think just like with anything else, it's all about structure and more compass in doing things. And sometimes that's lost in these situations. But hey, that's my perspective. If you have one, chime in, holler at me. I'm here. I ain't doing nothing. Hit me up. Like I said, I'm just running my mouth. This is what I do from 10 to 11 on air, DLRs, GLR. This is what we do. You have a perspective? Chime in. Give me a call, 718-664-9983. What do you guys think? Is Chris Matthews out of line? Should Harbaugh be canceled until his wife Kathleen's campaign is over? Does this make sense? Does it matter? Is Chris Matthews even on your radar? Do you care about Chris Matthews? Do you care about politics? All these discussions and proposed questions can be discussed and understood in a manner where we can get somewhere and have an opening dialogue and opening understanding. That's what it's all about here. Hey, it's early in the morning. We up, we moving. It's Tuesday, not Monday, so we're one day deeper in the week, which is a good thing. I'm going to play some sounds, try to get us up and groove it, as always. And then we'll move on to our other topics. We have 2015 Wealth is Ballers. I didn't get to it yesterday, so I'll pull that out today. We also have, I will break down the system, quote unquote, the system today. And we'll talk about the possessed Uber driver. Yeah, I know, possessed Uber driver. Wow, what is the world coming to? But we'll get into that. We'll get into that too a little later. Right now, I'm getting some sounds, and I'll be back with you in a few. Well, let me find what I'm looking for, and then I'll be back with you in a few. Give me a minute here. And while I'm looking for this song, which I found right quick. Be thinking about this when I come to it. What do you consider the system to be? What is the system for you? Of course, I break the system down from my perspective and where I see it. And you can take insight from it, but also I will be open to hearing your insight as well and perspective. But until then, hey, I found that music, so here goes some sound.
I like your money.
Come and shut it. Back it up right over here. Back it up right over here. Right there. Don't move. Look here, boy. Think you got a body, baby.
Your lips, your eyes. I like the way you move your body.
your hips, your thighs. Hey, I like the way. Hey, well, my bad. Hey, I get caught up in the moment. I'm just like everybody else. As the brothers is always still jamming years and decades later. One of the greatest groups, R&B soul groups ever, the Isaac Brothers Hand Out. That was Move Your Body by the Isaac Brothers. So that was that jam. I just, you know, I had to try to spark up, I don't know, get our blood flowing. It's early in the morning, you know, so I try to throw that first jam in there to be a little spark, you know what I mean? I try to get up and dance a little bit in between while the music's playing to get my juices flowing. So when I come back, I'll be ready for y'all. But it don't work all the time. Sometimes it do. But however, I'm here. You know what I mean? And I'm running my mouth, and that's a blessing in itself. So with that, we'll go into 2015 Wealthiest Ballers. Of course, I can't give you 2016 yet. That's why we're doing 15, because it's only calculated after the year has passed. But we're kind of fresh into 2016, which is in the March, the third month of the year. So I can give you the previous year wealthiest players. This year, of course, you will only have so far 3 months into the year. So it wouldn't be an accurate relay of information at this time. So I give you last year's 2015 wealthiest ballers. Coming in at number 10 for the wealthiest ballers in 2015 is Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony made 90, did you hear me? $90 million last year, in 2015. Anthony is approximately, he averages, NBA players in the world have a total net worth of $90 million. He averages the worth of $90 million while averaging a salary of approximately $22.5 million last year. He currently, so obviously the $90 million, most of this was in advertisement and his other contracts, because if his average salary for 2015 was $90 million, his paycheck average salary from the Knicks was $22.5 million. The rest of that was advertisements and contracts he has outside of it. That's endorsement. So that's a great deal. That's a lot of money. He's making over $68 million in endorsements. Wow, I mean, beautiful. So at number 10, and you can see how big this list is going to get it, because we at 10 and Carmelo Anthony comes in at $90 million. Wow, he's pulling up the rear with $90 million. Coming in at 9, we have Steve Nash. I'm not sure, and you know, I was kind of confused when I seen Steve Nash's name, because I didn't even know Steve Nash was still in the NBA. I'm not sure if he is, but I guess he was considered in 2015. Steve Nash makes $95 million. He made $95 million in 2015. His salary was net worth of $95 million, while his salary and endorsements $0.7 million. So I don't know where Steve Nash is putting all this money in from, but on calculations and reports, he's the number 9 wealthiest baller in 2015 with $95 million net worth. At number 8, we have my boy, and he's tied for it's a tie for 9 and 8, but I guess Dwayne Wade gets to push to 8 because he's more popular. Dwayne Wade, my boy, D Wade comes in at number 8 with $95 million as well. His current endorsements, it says $95 million in his account. It says he's $95 million in his account approximately, with total salary and endorsements amounting $15 million. D Wade is the man. That's my boy. I think D Wade is one of the most athletic, humble, and down to earth basketball players that you'll ever meet. I've never met him personally, but just on the surface, it seems like he's one cool dude. I wouldn't mind sitting down chopping up with D Wade, me personally. That's just me. So at number 8, we have D Wade coming in at $95 million, as well as in his net worth for 2015. At number 7, we have Ray Allen. Right. Ray Allen comes in at 100, at number 7. His net worth for 2015 was $100 million. Good job, Ray. You know, it's very inspiring to see these guys make this kind of money and also do great things with it. Because just on an outside subject, recently Ray Allen has opened an organic restaurant in South Florida area, and he's trying to spread it. So he's transitioning into his retirement, but he's also finding things to do with the wealth he's he's accumulated, which is a great thing. I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to see the continual evolution of doing some positive with the things you have. So good job, Ray. He's a sharpshooter, and he's continuing to be a sharpshooter off the court. So big props to Ray Allen coming in at number 7 with $100 million net worth. At number 6, and it's also a tie again, we have, Dwight Howard, for me, had so much potential coming into the NBA. I'm not finna die on Dwight Howard, so before I get myself and going off on a tangent, I'm gonna stop it. Dwight Howard has a net worth of $100 million in 2015, which is great. I mean, that's a lot of money coming in. We haven't actually seen him produce the way he did in the beginning of his career, and a lot of that has to do with injury and other things and changing teams. But we wish Dwight Howard the best. Like I said, I wasn't going to go into talking trash about Dwight Howard, so I backed off. So at number 6, Dwight Howard, one of the wealthiest ballers of 2015 with $100 million net worth. At number 5, we have Dirk Nowitzki with $100 million. Dirk Nowitzki, did you hear me? Dirk Nowitzki at number 5 with $120 million. Dirk, base salary is 22.7, but his net worth was $120 million coming in at number 5 in the 2015 wealthiest ballers. Big stuff. Dirk. I mean, you don't hear a lot about Dirk no more, but Dirk's still making that change, so that's all that matters. I heard some of them coins. If you can hit them coins clinking together, you're doing something. So, Dirk, you're making it happen. At number 4, we have Tim the Man Duncan coming in at number 4 with $130 million. $130 million. Listen, man, do you guys hear? I started at 90, which is profound. We had $130 million now, and it's Tim Duncan, one of the greatest in some aspects, probably can be considered the greatest power forward of all time, the most consistent power forward of all time, hands down, in my opinion. Probably one of the successful and winningest power forwards we've seen, and does it all quietly. He doesn't really make a big hoopla and all about it. He's just a blue-collar baller. With that, Tim Duncan comes in at number 4. How can you get Dwight Howard and Tim Duncan mixed up? I mean, really, come on, dude. Get it together. Tim Duncan comes in at number 4 with $130 million. All right, we're moving on. Number 3. Oh, man. KG. Kevin Garnett comes in at number 3. Check this out. With $190 million. KG, most people don't even know KG's still playing. Of course, he went back to where he started his career with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And he's currently, this time in 2015, he was the number 3 wealthiest baller, bringing in $190 million. That's a good, it caught me off guard. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know that. So I guess I'm just as informed as you guys are. So with that, and maybe you knew it. I don't know. If you did and you have an aspect on this money that's being made that we ain't getting nothing of, but these guys are making good money. Out here playing sports, and we contribute to it by watching and being their fans. Kevin Garnett comes in at number 3 with $190 million net worth for 2015. Number 2, now this almost lines as you would assume it would, because 2-1 kind of sets the stage for the dynamic of the NBA and how it's looked at as an overall aspect. At number 2, you have Kobe Bryant. The Black Mamba. This is the farewell season of Kobe Bryant. In my opinion, he's one of the top 5 greatest players of all time in the NBA, definitely, hands down. The closest player we'll probably ever see, in my personal perspective, to Michael Jordan. He had that killer instinct. His game, to me, was totally, totally parallel to Michael's. Michael Jordan's, he may say at times that wasn't his achievement, but sometimes you just can't You can't neglect what was there. And that's the truth. If anybody wants to be honest and say, have you ever seen someone the closest to Michael Jordan in present day time, it was Kobe Bryant. So Kobe Bryant made $280 million in 2015, and he's on his way out. So at number two, the highest grossing player in 2015 on net worth is Kobe Bryant. And his salary was $23.5 million, which is not a bad salary. I mean, $23.5 million alone is great. But I said his net worth was $280 million in 2015. So Kobe is having a pretty good farewell. Imagine how much money he's making in two. Imagine when we talk about this in 17, if God's willing and the Lord willing to let us see 17 after his farewell season, which is 2016 presently. How much money he'll be gross. Wow. Think about it. And number one, I mean, come on, let's be real. If Kobe's number two, who you think number one is? Who do you think number one is? Yes, the King, LeBron James, comes in at number one with $300 million net worth in 2015. LeBron James, the King. That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money. Now, we're talking about Kobe. And Kobe made $280 million. But the difference is with Kobe is on some aspects. We knew Kobe made that kind of money. And we knew it was a possibility. And Kobe's on his way out. And you almost consider as if, okay, he's putting his time to get that money. Not saying LeBron hasn't, but LeBron has a long time to go. And if he's at $300 million this year, I mean last year, I can only imagine him being at $500 million, half a billion, or $1 billion by the time he leaves the game and network. Come on, man. Come on now. Think about what I'm saying. This is a basketball player. The net worth is $300 million right now. And LeBron James doesn't look like he's slowing down on the basketball court. So you can say on an average, LeBron James had maybe 5 to 6 years left in him, if not more, because we've never seen a specimen like LeBron anyway before he came to the NBA. So if you give him 5 or 6 more years, right now he's at $300 million. There's no doubt in my mind in the next 2 to 3 years he'll shatter half a billion. It's only inevitable that he'll be at $1 billion before he leaves the game, his net worth, just from playing the game of basketball. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. So in running that down, we started from Carmelo Anthony with $90 million, and we went all the way up to LeBron James at number one with $300 million net worth for 2015 ballers. I think that was that's pretty much my take on that. What's your guys' take on it? I think that's a lot of money. I tell you that much. That's a lot of money being dished out for these guys playing basketball and selling their image. Big ups to them. And I continue to say anytime someone is being successful and they're doing it in the right manner, we should support them because you never know. One day you may be successful and you're going to want support as well. So, hey, I'm here just to run my mouth. And this is an open perspective, an open platform for open perspectives. And we share it. That's what we do here. So if you got one and you want to chime in on anything I've talked about so far, the number is 718-664-9983. This is DLR, Jewel Hour. Hey, I'm just doing what I do, man. This is what I do. Really, this is what I do. So I'm going to some sounds, and I'll be back to break down the system and to tell you about this possessed Uber driver out there. So y'all take it easy and check out these sounds right quick. I'll be right back with you.
No.
Chrisette Michelle. That's my girl right there. That's my jam, too. I ain't going to get into it. I was going to break it down for you, but I don't know if I'm ready to hit that note, so I'll leave it alone. I'll leave it alone right now. Anyway, I'm going to breaking down the system this morning. Let me throw this out there before I go into the system. When I speak of the system, I'm talking of a system that I've often heard of, reflected from in my side of my culture. And now we got to remember, this is an open platform, but this is Black News Network. So when I break things down, most of the time I'm breaking it down from a perspective of it's general for everyone, but it's also from the perspective of where I was raised and where I understand and what my culture has implemented inside of me. So inside of saying that, when I'm talking about the system, I'm talking about the system myself and those around me as the Black culture. When we speak of the system, and we implement, and we say, the system. The system is against us, or the system is bringing us down. In Urban Dictionary, I'll just break this down for you before I go into my own personal perspective. In the Urban Dictionary, the system is defined as the government, the police, or any other unconquerable authoritative figure. Did you hear me? Unconquerable authoritative figure. So basically, it's anything that has control over you, or anything that we have prospectively or conceptually considered to have control over us. And watch how I get into this and break this down for you, because the system really is something that we create for ourselves and don't realize, and then at the end of the day, we decide to point the finger back at what we created. So check this out. I'm finna go there with you. Systematically, we have to understand two things. One is systems are sometimes integrated into cultures and it's not even understood. Two, systematically, that culture builds the system. So think about it this way. My grandmother got up every morning on Saturdays. And during the day of Saturday, she prepared her dinner for Sunday. So basically, she would cook and prepare all the meal that we would have Sunday evening after church, or Sunday afternoon after church. It would be prepared Saturday. I watched this my whole life. It happened. It was like it was a system, basically. I'm not even going to look for another word. I'm going to continue to use the word that I need to use. It was a system put in place. Now, this system transitioned to my mother. My mother does the same thing today. This system will be passed down to my daughter, which will be passed down to my granddaughters, and which will be passed down to my great-granddaughters, and so on and so forth. This system is put in place inside of the cultural understanding of the family I was raised in. Now, just so happened I was raised in a Black and an African-American home. So that was the system for us. 9 times out of 10, that system came from somewhere else that was passed down to my grandmother. So that means her mother before my mother and before their mother did this, and they passed it on to my grandmother. So that's the system. That system is put in place, and that's the system that we know and we function out of. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, systematically, we have to understand somebody else in some other neighborhood and somewhere else has a system, too, that may not be identical to ours. But at the end of the day, that's the system that works for them. The understanding then becomes, for the system being put in place and for us to understand how the system is put in place, is that everybody has a different system. It's not one defined system that we all fall under. So if I have my own system and you have your own system, I need to be respectful of your system as well as you be respectful of mine. Not try to make it one individual, well, not individual, one collective system for all of us to fall under, because that doesn't happen. That doesn't work. So in the understanding of the Black community, when we say the system is against us, it's because we're talking about the wrong system. You fall into the system that you prospectively understand and know. That's the only system that you have. The system that I have in my home is the system that I function in. The system that you have in your home is the system that you function in. That doesn't mean that we have to line up and make one collective understanding of one system. Now you're putting everybody in a box. You wasn't born in a box. So why all of a sudden do we have to understand from that standpoint? Systematically, we get caught up in the system, and that's the problem. The system is not against you. You make them for yourself. The system becomes against you when you try to align your system with someone else's system. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. And it's sad because, and I'm pointing this out before I go any further. This is my perspective. You don't have to agree. You don't even have to listen if you choose not to. But this is where I see it from. Now, I'm open to hearing your perspective. I'm open to hearing how you feel on it. You can call in. The number is 718-664-9983. And I'm open to hearing that because I want to be enlightened too. I just feel as if we put ourselves in a situation where I'm reading you a definition off the Urban Dictionary that says the government, the police, or any other unconquerable authoritative figure is the system. Every system I've ever been in is because I chose to be, period. And the systems that I didn't choose to be in, I created. So in understanding that, the only system that I fall into that I really, really, really supposed to be in is the system I grew up in. And that's the system that matters. Now, all these other systems make sense, and they are respected in their places. But once you try to make everybody fall under one system, government, i.e., which is, think about what I'm saying. How can I implement a government that outlines a system for all if I don't understand the system that I grew up in? You can't fit into the governmental system if you don't even understand the system of your mother. Excuse me. If you don't understand the system of your grandmother getting up every morning on Saturday preparing dinner for Sunday. If you didn't understand that system growing up and understand that was the system that you grew up in and that's how life works for you, how are you going to understand the system outside of that that somebody else does that you've never been around? Think about what I'm saying. So, yes. The system against you, because that ain't none of your system. You don't even understand. You have to understand the system you came out of to be able to implement any other system in your life, period, point blank. And sometimes them systems don't matter because the system, you define the system that you want to matter. Because perspectively, no system exists if you don't consider it. So the only system that exists is the system that I'm in. Now, all the other systems I can work within because I understand the system I come from. Get what I'm saying? I know that may be... I know I may have went kind of far out, but I hope I'm being clear on what I'm saying. And to kind of sum it up, I guess where I'm coming to is this. If you don't understand your own culture, don't talk about nobody else's culture or trying to be into another culture. Because until you understand the dynamics and the systematic makeup of who you are, yes, every system in the world is against you because you don't even get the system you come from. And that's not the system's fault. It's your fault because it's your system. You created. Even if you don't understand the system you come from, you got to respect something. And in understanding respecting something, that might be the system of yourself as an individual. Just, okay, I like being to myself. I would rather be by myself than in the limelight of others. That's systematic understanding for you. Because systematically, you work inside of being by yourself. If you can understand that, you are better when you go out working with others. That makes the whole system work. Because now it's not you working for the system is working for you. It's pretty simple, but then it can be complex because we've been kind of wired to think the opposite. I mean, when you come into a world and you're totally told, and you're directly told, from the jump, the system is against you, you automatically build this understanding that the system is this big boogeyman somewhere out there that's out to get you. And the truth of the matter is the system is what you grew up in and what you understand. Anything outside of that is what you perspectively allow it to be. The only system I have is the system I just explained to you. My grandmother got up and cooked on Saturdays for Sunday. And that's not all the systems. That's just one aspect of a system that I'm explaining to you that is passed on and hereditary. It's inherited because once my grandmother did that, my mother started to do it. So now my daughter watches it. You know what I'm saying? Now if by chance I wasn't the only child and my mom had a daughter, she would do the same thing that would pass it on by traditionally tradition. That's a system. That system puts in place everything that forms around me. That's the system I fall into. Any system outside of that or what anybody else does in their system doesn't directly affect me unless I allow it to. So the system is not against you. It really isn't. And black people, we need to understand that. We make our own systems. Actually, we define the system that's in place. And the reason it seems like it's against us is because that's the mentality we have. So if you put out there that I don't care about that system, I care about my system, then your system becomes more important than the system that you put against you and made this boogeyman. This is my perspective. I don't know if you have an insight. I'm welcome to hearing that. The number is 718-664-9983. But that was me breaking down the system. With that, I go into some sounds, and I'll be back in a minute with the possessed Uber driver. Yeah, I know. What is this world coming to? I'll be back with you in a minute. Kiki White, that's one of those gems. Kiki White and, well, I won't say Chris and Michelle so much, but Kiki White is one of those, I don't know, overlooked artists. I would say underrated by far. She can flat-footed sing. Go check her out. That's, that was on an LP she put out not too long ago. I think it was just 4 or 5 songs on it, but that was that jam, so I wanted to put it out there. I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, well, that's Kiki White. I did. I know what I was going to tell you. I can tell you this. I can tell you about this possessed Uber driver that's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, I know everyone has heard about the Uber driver that went off on this serial killer type of shooting spree. The guy shot 8 people. 6 were, I think 6 were injured, seriously injured or something like that. Anyway, it was in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and this was earlier in the month, or last month or so. Yeah, because it was early in this month, so it was last month. But I know everyone has heard about it, the Uber driver. I've always been skeptical about this Uber whole thing. Anyway, I'm skeptical about getting a cab, period, in a taxi anywhere. I've always been, I guess, kind of happy. I guess in some ways, I guess that's the word. I mean, if I only need a big, big, huge word, a huge, as Bernie Sanders would say, word for this one, I guess I'm kind of happy I never had to interact in that kind of transportation living here in Florida. If my homeboys didn't give me a ride, pretty much everywhere we was going, you could find somewhere to go. I mean, that's just how it was. We didn't have to get on, we didn't have to use public transportation or pay for taxes and stuff. I'm a country boy. I've never really lived in the city. Functionally for a long amount of time. I mean, I've been in the city and been other places, but it was either visit or in the military. So it really wasn't that serious for me. However, so I've always been skeptical of, you know, riding with strangers. I'm just going to be real with you. It's the truth. Now, this Uber thing for me was like, okay, this is really like the Craigslist murderer of taxi drivers. Why would I want to just get in the car with somebody who decided they want to take me around all of a sudden? This is just like the Craigslist dude, like the Craigslist murderer. Like, all I got to do is advertise to get me some bodies. You know what I mean? Think about it. I mean, I know this is crazy, but I'm just having a little fun right now. But think about it, if Jeffrey Dahmer had social media. Think about it. I mean, that would have been dangerous, right? So now you give an Uber driver, you give this kind of capability to these cats. I mean, just think about it. Anyway, this dude, the guy who's been convicted, actually confessed to the shooting. And inside of his confession, he told the wait a minute. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. Yeah, because I know I am, because this is one of my favorite places, because I never thought this place existed. Kalamazoo, Michigan. My mom used to say all the time, you must be from Kalamazoo. So the Kalamazoo, Michigan detectives, the guy was being interviewed, the Uber driver that's accused of doing the shootings, and he confessed and said, inside of his confessions, that the app, the Uber app on his iPhone, possessed him and told him to shoot these people. He said it would light up red and black when it would tell him to do things. And it just took over his body. And he said the reason he didn't really want, in the beginning when they first interviewed him, why he took the Fifth Amendment. And I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. I'm laughing just because how absurd sometimes things can be. Because even he, in his own understanding, knew this story was far-fetched. So he said the reason he didn't admit in the beginning and pleaded the Fifth when they first interviewed him about the shootings was because he knew no one would believe him. That the app had possessed him. Oh, really? You knew nobody would believe that the app possessed you. So if you don't even believe that, I'm going to believe the app possessed you, how in the hell you believe the app possessed you? I don't know. I mean, I'm totally thrown off on this one, but I mean, anything can happen. I mean, you really, honestly, I can. One thing I will tell you this is this. I have my own personal perspective. And sometimes I like to have fun, and sometimes I say things that are far-fetched myself. And I get that. I really do. And I understand things. So inside of that, I'm just having a little fun with this topic. But the truth of the matter is we don't know what really happened with this dude. As a clinician, as on a professional standpoint, I do understand that medically sometimes you can have these kind of situations where, you know, people be it's debilitating. It's a situation where it's a mental what is the word I'm looking for right now? See, that's what happens when you try to go professional and you're doing something else. But however, it's an unstableness that happens inside of their mental balance, and it's unbalanced. It unbalances them to the point where the way I see things and the way you may see things functionally, they don't. And that has to be dealt with. And I think the truth of the matter is this. he has some issues that he needs to work with, period. We all do. His just may be a little more extreme because he shot 8 people. And he's claiming that he shot these 8 people because the app, the Uber app, told him to. I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, I'm trying my best. I'm doing everything I can to stay away from making this a comical situation because it's really not. But at the end of the day, I mean, a possessed Uber driver. I mean, if you take nothing else from this, if you take nothing else from this, take this much. If you are not riding in the car with a friend that you know or somebody that you are close to, just walk. Just walk. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm finished. Look, I got to get out of here, man. I enjoyed you guys today. I see you tomorrow, man. As always, it's been a blessing to be here and to be able to do this. Lock your doors, but open your heart to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Dad out.
Looking for the right.